The topic that we're going to talk about today, we began treating right before the end of Zman, during our last Chabura before Zman, and that is the topic of selling and buying Shemitah produce. How can you sell Shemitah produce? How much are you allowed to sell? What isn't allowed to be sold? What considerations does a buyer need to keep in mind when they buy Shemitah produce? Now, again, as I mentioned, we briefly discussed this, or not briefly, we discussed this more at length last time, but I will try to delineate the basics of our discussion from the Chabura, and hopefully we'll get to more specifics during today's shiur. So, why is there a problem at all of buying any Shemitah produce? Well, this conversation sort of parallels the conversation about Katsira. If you remember our conversation about harvesting Shemitah produce, we have a blanket prohibition, or what seems like a blanket prohibition against doing something, a blanket prohibition against harvesting. And then what ended up happening was you are allowed to harvest Shemitah produce. It just, you have to do it in a certain way. It ends up being the same in regard to selling and buying Shemitah produce. We see the prohibition itself explicated in the Gemara in source number one as follows briefly. The Gemara of Arazara says, if donkey drivers perform work with Shemitah fruits, their pay, their salary is considered Shvius. It has Kedusha Shvius. Shvius. What do you mean you pay them Shvius? If you're saying we punish them by working during Shemitah, by giving them Shemitah produce as pay, that is inappropriate. You can't do that. You can't pay your workers with Shemitah produce. Why? That would result in this employer paying their employees and their debts with Shemitah fruits. The Torah says, la'ochla v'lo l'schora. You can only eat Shemitah produce. You cannot do business with it. So the Gemara says you can't pay your workers with Shemitah produce because you can't do business with Shemitah produce. Now, we took that, just that face value, you might come to the conclusion you can't buy any Shemitah produce, you can't sell any Shemitah produce, all you can do is go around gathering free fruit, and that's it. However, there are many indications from many Gemaras that you can indeed in some cases buy Shemitah produce. One of them is, as we'll see, there's a Mishnah Torah discussing buying a lulav and esrog, which are Shemitah. Now, we'll get to certain considerations you need to keep in mind when you do that, but you can. The Gemara also discusses what happens when you have a Shemitah fruit and then you sell it. The Kesef itself becomes Kadosh Pekusha Shvias. Then you use that money to buy another fruit, and then that fruit becomes Kadosh Pekusha Shvias, and on and on. Wait a minute. If you can't buy or sell Shemitah produce, what are we talking about? Are we talking about people violating a prohibition? Doesn't seem that that's so. So it seems that not all buying and selling constitutes schora, this prohibition. The question is, what does and what doesn't? How do you define this prohibition against schora with peros shvis? As I mentioned, we discussed this more extensively last time, but right now I will briefly outline the three primary shitos. The first is in source two, and that is the shita of the Chachmei Sfarad. Here I brought you the Rashba, which is that it's a bit of a misnomer, frankly. It's not about the commerce itself. It's not that selling Peru Shemitah is a problem. What the problem is what you get back in return. Meaning, you're meant to, it's almost parallels the Isra of Hefsid, as we discussed earlier, destroying Peru Shemitah. When you have Peru Shemitah, the Torah wants you to do one thing with it, and that is eat it, b'kedusha shvius, or you should exchange it for something else, which can also be used to buy other Shemitah produce, which you can consume b'kedusha shvius. If, however, you buy or you give up Peru Shemitah and get nothing in return, as in the case when you pay them to your worker, to pay off a debt, or you intend on getting something in return which cannot be consumed during Shemitah, B'kedusha Shvius, that is Schora. If I take a look at the Rashba in source number two, Nimsaza Porechovo prayer. Shviasatura Amra La Ochla Velolishora. Pirish La Ochlan Bithne Atman Olamochran Veliknos Bid Me and Varman Acholim Shiholm is Barach or Bior Gisha Shvias Tofasis Ben. You could either eat them by themselves, you could eat the peros, the Torah allows you to do that, or you can sell them and use the money to buy other things which can be eaten big douches shvias. But you shouldn't buy something which is nitin l'schora, which is used for commerce. Konavadim, like slaves, or karkos, or land, oksus, or clothing, or kalim. It's about the thing that you get in return, which you're not eating, you're using for commerce instead. It's simply a question of appropriately relating kedusha shvius. That is the iser schora. Now, this should, in and of itself, result in a major kula. And that kula is, it should, as long as what you're buying and selling can be eaten in kedusha shvius, you should be okay. So if I sell, at first glance at least, if I sell peros shvius and I use all the money to buy food or to buy things that I can consume during shvius, it's not a problem. The problem is when you don't get something in return which can be eaten, Begdusha Shvias. That is the sheet of the Rashba and the Ramban. Now, just to note, at the end of this Rashba, he discusses another case which we'll get to later on, which is the case of being Mekadesh Begdusha Shvias, proposing to a woman and getting betrothed to a woman, and what you give her is Shemitah produce. So aside from the value and ownership concerns which we discussed earlier, the Rashba and the Chacham Svarad say there's another problem. Aside from the fact that you're not necessarily, you don't own Kedusha Shvias, we say you do, but when you are Mekadesh Nisha Kedusha Peros Shvias, what do you get in return? You don't get anything in return. I mean, Baruch Hashem, you're married. It's a great trade-off most of the time. It's worth it. But you don't get anything that you can consume Kedusha Shvias in return. That's a problem. And therefore, the Rashba and the Rabban say the Gemara in Kedushin, which says that it works, it's bidi eved. It's not ideal. You're not supposed to be Mekadesh Nisha Mekadesh Shvias. That is Schora. If you do, it works. We'll get to whether it should work or not a little bit later, but it does work. But that's the first Shita that it has to do with only getting things in return which can be consumed Mekadesh Shvias. Rashi in Surah number 3 has a different Shita, which is a bit controversial. We're showing them all jump on Rashi. Where he says as follows. Here he's a comment of the Gemara in Sukkah, which discusses another issue, which we'll get to in just a bit, giving money, which is Kedusha Shvias, to an Ama Aret, someone who might not use it appropriately. The Gemara says one cannot do that. One cannot give money in exchange for Peros Shvias to someone who will not use the money appropriately. Why? Says Rashi. Da Torah Amra lo ochla velo lischora. The Torah says you can only eat Peros Shvias, you cannot engage in commerce with them. Why? Shakol peros shvias chayavin lisbar b'shvias hein udemehen. Because peros shvias, you need to be misbar. You need to do bior with peros shvias. What is bior? Whether it's destroying them or being mafker them, we'll see in the ensuing weeks. The point is there's a chiyav to do bior with peros shvias, ultimately bizman habior. Below shayasib hem schoraso latzniel achar shvias ilahashir. You're not supposed to do business with Peros Shvias such that instead of consuming them within the Shemitah year, you hang on to them in order to do commerce with them. Essentially, the problem for Rashi is that when you get Peros Shvias, they're meant for consumption, immediate usage. The Torah isn't allowing you to do business with them. That's not how you're supposed to view them. You don't view them as a product. You view them as something that you eat, that you need for the immediate consumption. If you hold on to them such that you can sell them later, that's not appropriate usage of Peros Shvias. Now, just to note parenthetically, many of the Mefarshim are bothered by this Rashi because they say there are certain Peros Shvias which are not susceptible to Bior. There is no Chi of Bior. So they ask upon Rashi, what about those Peros? Would you be allowed to do Sechora with them? Is that because there is no Bior? If the whole problem of Peros Shvias is, or schora is that when you hold on to them in order to sell them and you're not going to get rid of them by the time of Bior, what about things that have no chi of Bior? I think the answer is in the Orson Malachi offers this answer. It's not about Bior per se. It's about the general notion of, I would even say, ownership of Parashias. The Torah doesn't want you to look at this as something that you own fully and can do business with. It's something that you're supposed to use immediately, whether it's susceptible to Bior or not. The point is short-term usage. That is the problem with Torah for Rashi. And finally, we have Tosfos, who probably gives the most basic understanding of what Torah is. Although you can buy and sell on a sort of temporary, haphazard way, you're not supposed to make a business out of Parashvias. Take a look at Tosfos and Torah number 4. Omer ben Yitzchak, what Torah? Torah shiasur Parashvias. What is Sechora? Hanu liknos harbe v'yachad, to buy a lot together. L'holech mimakom hazol, to transport from the place where they are sold sheep. L'makom hayoker, to where they're more expensive. The, as I've said a few times already, the age-old business formula of buying things for less than you sell them for, right? It's really a brilliant model. Anyways, this is the problem with Sora. You can't make a business out of Parashvias. That's a bit more amorphous. How would you define what is a problem of commercial buying and selling for a profit? What is not? Well, we will see as we go on. But these are the three general approaches to the problem of Sora. Is it a problem of not getting something bad with Parashvias, a problem of long-term usage, or a problem of just generally engaging in commerce? Okay. This brings us, any questions about that? Am I clear of the three options? We got that? Beautiful. This brings us to the Mishnah on source number 5, which I know we did last time also, but I want to focus on it a bit more intently. So I'm going to read this Mishnah. The Mishnah has a first half and a second half. The first half is not okay. The Mishnah says, don't do this. But in the Seifa, you can do this. This is okay. And my question is, what is the difference? What is the difference between the Reish and the Seifa? Why is the first thing this Mishnah says okay, and the second thing forbidden? So let's take a look in source number 5. Lo yia lokeach yirako tzadeh u'mochar bashuk. Do not lokeach, let's say, buy vegetables of the field and sell them in the shuk, the marketplace. Aval hu lokeach u'beno mocher al yado. Rather, says the Mishnah Shvi, so I should say Perek Zayin Mishnah Gimel, he can gather, and his son can sell on his behalf. Don't buy vegetables of the field and sell them in the marketplace. Rather, gather them and your son can sell them on your behalf. So here's my question. What makes the Reisha a problem and what makes the Seifa not a problem? What is the difference between these two halves of the Mishnah? Thoughts? Looking at source number 5. I bolded two halves here. What is the difference between the lokeach yirako tzadeh versus lokeach b'vno mochal yado?
Well, first of all, there's the language used for each one. There's lokeach versus lokeach.
Ah, so Natanael says lokeach versus lokeach. So that would mean it's a problem to buy and sell. It's less of a problem to gather and sell. Okay, one suggestion. Anything else? What other factors are there? What other words that distinguish between the two?
The fact that you've got two parties versus one.
Right. So in the first, you gather and you sell. But in the second one, your son is selling it for you. And what's the third factor, maybe?
Score and a kreva? I don't know.
Where do you sell it in the Risa? Where do you sell it? Mocher, Bashuk. Don't buy vegetables and sell them in the marketplace. Rather, b'no mocher al yado. Al yado. I know that's by hand, not in the shuk or on his behalf. So these are the three factors. All three of these factors are emphasized. Now this would, taken by itself, this could lead to, you know, have huge ramifications. Whatever is mutter might be okay to do during Shemitah, whereas the opposite will be a problem. However, you'll see that all three of these are suggested, which means that it gets very confusing as to what's okay and what's not okay. So let's take a look at it. So if you look at Tosfos and source number 6, he emphasizes location. Location. It's about where the sale is taking place. Don't do it in the shuk. Rather, do it not in the Shuk. Take a look at Tosos. Tosos is sensitive to Natana's point, which is this distinction between lokeach and locate in the Reisha and Seifa. Tosos says, I don't know. It's not really about that. Can't be about that. Maybe it's a Girsa issue. Maybe it's not a Girsa issue, but it's a Chiddush to say that they're the same. The point, though, is, let's take a look at the last line. Then we can explain why it's a problem in the market. When you take your store and put it in the marketplace and you have a Shemitah produce, then that really looks like you're looking to profit, to make a profit off of Peros Shvius. And this is consistent with Tosos' sheets. I should say it's probably the Rambam sheet also, which we'll get to, which is the Schora means making it into a business, making it into a profitable enterprise. That's what Schora is. Simply, gathering maybe to eat and then selling here and there, that's not Schora. But when you take the store and put it in the marketplace, that's Schora. That's Tosos' sheets. The Rash, Mishan, since source number 7, as we'll see Tosos' Rash, source number 9, both do emphasize the locate aspect of it. And the difference is who versus Bino. In the Reisha, it's a problem because you're doing the gathering and the selling. But when you do the gathering, you get someone else to sell it for you, that's okay. At least in the Mishnah's case, that is okay. That says the Rosh. Take a look at the Rosh in source number 7. I'll just read the bold here. Lo yehe lokeach kishemocher b'shuk hu atzma. That's haloke aser. Lelake la'achila amrachmana b'lo lelake l'schora. The Torah said you can gather peroshvius, but when you gather them, you have to have the intention of eating it. You can't gather them with the intention of selling it. Zahanu mocher hu. Aval hu lokeit uveno mocher ayado. You can even sell in the marketplace as long as you're not the one who did the gathering, because you didn't gather them. Now, this is a bit perplexing, right? Who cares who gathered it? What did the Torah say? The Torah says, the ochla v'lo l'schora. You really mean to say if I appoint someone else to sell it for me, it's okay? It's a bit perplexing. So here at Rachman Pushel-Perlo on the Rasag, he's commenting on another problem in the Monia Mitzos, which is the Ramban attacks the Rambam for not counting La Ochla Velo L'Schora as a separate mitzvah. But the Rambam doesn't count the Ochla Velo L'Schora as a separate mitzvah, nor does Rav Sadja Gaon in his poem about the 613 mitzvah. The question is, why? Racham Fishel Perlo says, I'll tell you why. It's because it's not a separate mitzvah at all. What is the problem with L'Schora? It's a facet of the Isser of Ketzira. As we learn, and that explains the parallelism. You have two different things which should have been, you look at the Torah, it's a problem, but then it is okay. It depends how you do it. The same thing, that's because of the same Isser. You're only allowed to gather the fruit if you intend to eat it. If you gather it to sell it on the market for a profit, that isn't allowed. Therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan Pishel Perlo, the Rosh distinguishes between whether you gathered it or not. If you didn't do the gathering, then that's not the primary prohibition against Schora, because Schora is simply an inappropriate end of gathering it, of Ketzira. However, and here's an important caveat, which really, throws this whole discussion in a different light. He says that doesn't mean it's okay to do whatever you want as long as you aren't the gatherer. He says it's still a problem. Take a look at the bold here. Let's read it inside. And then source number 8, Bira Sagana, say Samachal. Zikra to the Ochla Adla Elmine Kai. The Pasuk of the Ochla is referring to what was previously the Pasuk. Allah de lo sikzeru lo sikzeru. The Havile Kiluk Sib lo sikzeru velo sikzeru ki im Ochla lo shora. You should not harvest or pick the fruits except for eating and not for business. Vishar Barm Sha'inim lo Ochla. And for other things that aren't eating, anybody who does the harvesting and then does business is over on losiktzor. But lakita biyarakosi makom tzira b'tfuah b'tzir benavim. Lakita locate is the same thing as kotzer. That's what he's saying here. Mizuran v'ras masharnu mikom makom. He says, nevertheless, gam kishakotzer achirim yishlomar de'isr schora de'oraisehu. Even if other people gather the peros and you sell them, it's still a deoraisa. Why? Also, it's a serial and mafreya be'isser. That's a strange notion. That, well, even if Rabbi Yeres gathers the produce and I'm selling it, but when I sell it, I am making it such that Rabbi Yeres' harvesting of the produce was not la'ochla. And that's an isser in and of itself. A bit of a stretch. It's a mafreya. Do isser work like that? He had to say that because he's not going to say you can do whatever you want as long as you don't gather them. However, then he adds as follows. The main prohibition is when you gather them. Therefore, when we're talking about mechira mu'etes, not schora, not full-blown schora, but haphazard, selling a bit. So then the Mishnah says you can have someone else sell it for you as long as they didn't gather it. Meaning, and this is what we'll see is the case, although the Mefarshim disagree about how to interpret this Mishnah, everyone seems to agree that this is all assuming you're only doing Mechira Mu'etes. Where the Mishnah is not saying you could do a full-blown Pero Shmita business and operation as long as either you're not selling it and buying it, or you're not gathering it, or you're not doing it in the Shuk. It's saying even if you're only selling a bit, still, you have to make sure that you're not both the gatherer and the seller, as it returns to. Either way, though, the second approach in this is that it matters who gathered the produce. Maybe that points to the general prohibition of Sora as an extension of Tzira. Finally, and just to point out, the Tosa Rosh also, and Torastan agrees with the Rosh, but he also takes on Tosfos' point of view that even if you don't do the gathering, if you're buying a lot at a low price and then selling a lot at a greater price, that's also still Sfora. And finally, look at source 10, and the Gra agrees this as well. The third approach is, as the Talmud suggested, Lokeach versus Locate. Lokeach versus Locate. Buying and selling is the problem. Gathering is not as much of a problem. Buying and selling is Sfora. That's what the Rav Yosef Zal quote here in the Lechashon will suggest. Take a look. The Yotai near the Farish. To buy and sell is a problem. To gather and sell is okay. And that's sort of the opposite of the Rosh, right? So we have like two totally opposite, interpretations here. The Rosh is telling you as long as you don't gather it, that's okay. And then the Gra and it's Malach Shlomo are saying, if you gather it and sell it, then that's okay. But if you buy it and sell it, that's a problem. So they're the exact opposite in terms of how they interpret this Mishnah. So what ends up being the appropriate or mutter way to sell? So let's take a look at the Rambam here, and let's think about whether or not which opinion he agrees with, and just generally whether it's feasible to run a Shemitah operation when you're confined to the rules that we've already discussed. The Rambam says as follows. In osin schora b'perot shvius. You can't do business. Conduct commerce with Shemitah produce. If you want to sell a little bit, then you can. So apparently for the Rambam, ma'at isn't Sora, right? Which fits best with the opinion of Tosfos, that it's about generally doing business according to the Rashba and the Chacham Svar. It doesn't really matter how much, it matters what you get back in return. According to Rashi, it depends how long you're going to use it for. Maybe you could work with that. But it sounds like it's so. So ma'at, number one, you can't sell a lot, only a little bit. And then he says, it's an adamna, right? A pair of shvius. And the money you get in return, you can't just use whatever you want. It is dusha shvius. We look at ma'afa, we also have a dusha shvius. And you have to buy food and eat that food with dusha shvius. But also, and then you didn't get rid of the dusha shvius by selling it. It's still kadosh. Then he quotes our Mishnah. Lo yehei lokeach yirako sada umocher. So number one, you shouldn't buy yirakos of the sada and sell them. And another problem is you shouldn't use klipe shvius peels to dye clothing and get paid for your dyeing service. Parenthetically, there is a discussion in the Mefarshim whether or not basically what the Rambam is saying here is if you have a business, even if it's not selling klipe shvius, but you profit off of your usage of Peter Svias, in this case by using them to dye clothing, that's also a problem. It's a discussion in Mefarshim whether or not it's only a problem if you own them, but if you don't own them, the Chazanish says, if you're simply getting paid for the work and not for the pair of Shvias themselves, it might not be a problem. Others, the Tosfos don't suggest it's a problem either way. Then he says, that's Torah. If you bought the vegetables to eat them, the host here, and they left Galath over, then you could sell the leftovers and the dam mishvias, right? So you meant to eat all of it. You have a few leftovers. You can sell the leftovers. And here's the v'chein, the second half of the Mishnah. If you gathered your rakos la'atzmo, if you gather the vegetables for himself, and then your grandson or your son, or great-grandson or your nephew, I don't really think it matters, sells the produce for you. That's okay, and it's Shvias. So just looking at this for a second, does the Rambam agree? I know we read a lot there, but how does the Rambam agree with in terms of his interpretation of the Mishnah? Is it about buying versus selling and versus gathering? Is it about where you sell it? Is it about, you can't gather and sell? What's a problem? What's not? If you look at, I'll read the two quotes very briefly, right? He says, Lo yehe lokeach yirakos ala mocher, but im lokeach yirakos la'atmo, the lokeach mehen, beno venbito, machar is a mutter. Simple explanation is it's like the gra and the third interpretation that the problem is buying and selling. Buying and selling, gathering and then selling might be okay. But he also adds in Binov and Bito. Do you need both? Do you need either? Or if you buy it and then you have your son sell it for you, is that okay? Doesn't seem like it's okay. It's a bit unclear. Well,
it's also not so clear the way he frames the son and whatever grandson.
Right.
And Binov Ben Bito sounds like they bought it.
Is he buying it from you? Is he buying it from you? Yeah. Agreed. So the Mefarshim are all very confused about this Rambam. Does he follow the Grai or does he have two requirements? But the Chazanish says he decides the Grai. Either way, it ends up being not so clear what you're actually allowed to do, even if you follow the Rambam. And then in the third halacha, he talks about Mida and Mishkal. Shemokhan Perishvias, Ein Mokhan Osan Lob Mida Lo Mishkal, Lob Minyan. When you sell Perishvias, you shouldn't sell them based on measurement or weight or number, so that it doesn't seem like you're doing business with Perishvias. You should sell it by omed, by estimation. You're not going to say, here's exactly a pound or an ounce of vegetables and they cost $12. No, you take a bag. I'm not exactly sure how much is in this bag. It looks like a bag. Why don't you give me, $10 for it? That's how you do it. You don't weigh them, you don't count them, you sort of guesstimate. The echein luck in your rakos, lodiyashu hefker, the sholetz hefker, lokeach adam and likos ben ochel acher, and then the money you had to use for another food. So the point being, it's going to be very hard to actually run a shmita fruit store if you try to follow these rules. Consider this. You can't. We'll get to location in a second. You can't sell too much at one time. That already is pretty rough. All the things that you get back are the money you get back is too shvius. Maybe you can't gather, even if you're selling a little bit, you can't gather it and also sell. You have to get someone to sell for you. These are a lot of restrictions. How much is ma'at, just to sort of pin that down, how much can you sell at once? What is mutter? So here you have this machlokas between the Kesem Mishnah and Derech Amunah. The Kesem Mishnah compares this to a Mishnah we'll see later on, which relates to how much you can give to an Am Haaretz. The Mishnah says you can give Dimei Shvias to the Am Haaretz up to Mazon Shalosh Sudos, enough for three meals. Kesem Mishnah equates that with Chora. If you can give the Dimei Am Haaretz money enough to buy three meals, you can sell enough peros to buy three meals. That's not a lot. The Derech Hamuna here quotes the Chazon Ish, who says you don't need to be that limited. There are different shirim. How much can you buy? You can buy enough such that you're taken care of for 2 to 3 days. That's ma'at. So that's one restriction. Number two, you look at the Derech Hamuna. We don't know who's right. Is the Rosh right? Is the Gra right? Is the Rambam right? So if you combine all these factors, you're pretty limited, right? Because you can't gather and sell, you can't buy and sell, you can't do it in the marketplace. So you're going to have to find another place or location for your store. It ends up being that you're pretty limited here. Just briefly summarizes all these sources in source 14. And the Chazon Ish in source 15 says that when you buy a pair of shmita, you have to be very careful that the person you're selling it, or who's selling it, is taking all these considerations into account. That's number one. Says source Chazon Ish is Seder Shvias and in the Chav Vav and Hilchos Shvias in source 15. Ha'amor nilmad the chaver ha'balik goes parasim ha'mishvias. If you want to buy a pair of shmita mishvias, he has other questions about being shown where the peros. Did the person guard the peros? And all those considerations. And it gets a schora. Va'am is baro shem mutarim. If they're mutar. You have to know that the seller isn't being over Isra'shora. If the buyer who has a fruit stand with fruits and vegetables simply bought a little bit to eat, and then, you know, it just happens to be that I have a whole fruit stand left over, okay, that's one thing. However, if that's not the case, if he bought a lot and this is his business, then also the common, you can't buy from him. And therefore he says, Achen v'nim shomrei Torah tzrichim ladas ki b'shnas ha-shviyis I eshar lahem l'nahel iskeim b'mischar aperos v'yarakos. You have to know, if you are a store owner, you own a grocery store, it's Shemitah year, you cannot run business as usual. It simply won't work. With all the different shitos, all the different concerns, you can't sell them to the same place. You can't sell a lot at once. You can't gather and sell, buy and sell. You can't do it. It's not going to work. They had to seek their parnas from elsewhere. He says, however, if you can find a way to get Yevolnach for your outside chutzlaretz, then fine. But you can't do it with Parashvias itself. For this reason, practically, what ends up happening is that we have to resort to one of the sort of methodology we discussed earlier, either Otzer Basin, which we discussed, and I'll get to at the end once again. And here, the Derech Hamuna, according to Chazon Ish, is a different solution, where you basically, it's almost a miniature Otzer Basin. You have a store owner who says, I am not selling Parashvias, Chas V'Shalom, that's Torah. I will be your shliach. You know, the community wants fruits and vegetables available. You'll appoint me as a messenger. I will get the fruits and vegetables and deliver them to you as a service, and you pay me back for my tircha in dealing with the fruits and vegetables and for the costs that I incur in acquiring those fruits and vegetables. So it's almost like a miniature Otzer Basin they suggest here. But the point being that if you try to just buy and sell Parash Shvias and keep Kedusha Shvias, normally ain't going to happen. There's just no way that's going to work, and you're going to parnas for it.
Does he allow for Schar Batala also in the Derech Hamuna?
It sounds like he does in this thing.
I mean, the excerpt here doesn't say it. Schar Tircha and Schar Batala are two different things.
Right. I do know that the Rechayim Kanyesi quotes the Chazon Ish saying that you can't include that in the price, really. That in and of itself isn't a way, as we'll get to, of just avoiding the Isser Schora or even the Havlai issue. You can't just, we'll get to how you do Havlai in just a minute. So I'm not sure. He just says Tircha here. Let's look at the end of this year. Hopefully we'll get to how he looks at what's your base and what you can do, and we'll see about what he says in terms of Tircha. Either way, so that's in terms of selling parish fees. Now, so again, most of the time, people who are selling parashvias are going to try to avoid them being parashvias. That's the point. They're going to either use Otzer Basin, and then it's not Torah, or they'll do Heter Mechira, and it's not cut up Kedusha Shvias. They'll do something, because you can't just sell a regular parashvias and run a business that way. What about the buyer? What do I have to think about when I'm not selling parashvias, and I don't run a grocery store, so it's less, I'm concerned for the grocery store owners, but it's not less my personal concern. But what if I want to buy parashvias? Say for someone I'm not 100% sure what they did, what do I have to worry about? Is there an Isser Schora for the buyer? That's the first question. Is it only a problem for the seller or for the buyer? Look in source number 17. The Gemara simple indication is that no, there is not a problem for the buyer of Sfora itself. How do we see this? So let's read the Mishnah of the Gemara, which we'll get to later anyway. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Lokeach lula mechaver b'shvias. A person's buying a lula from his friend during Shemitah. Now, in just a few months, this will happen, right? So no Sfora, oh, or maybe not, because the Esra, okay, sorry. Okay, but no Sfora matana. What happens? So the assumption of the Mishnah is the lulav is not kosher b'shvias. Why is the lulav not kosher b'shvias? Just parenthetically, two pshitas in Rav Marshim. Some say lulavs are never shvias because they're just trees and you don't eat them. Maybe you can benefit from them somehow, but it's not enough of a benefit to make them kosher b'shvias. Others are saying no, really a lulav is kosher b'shvias. But as our Tertullian just alluded to, the estrog isn't really going to be shvias until shminis. And if that's so, then the lulav might not be shvius at this point. For whatever reason, it might just be shminis. Anyways, for whatever reason, the lulav isn't shvius, the esrog is. So what do? You want to buy the lulav and the esrog, but the esrog is shvius. So what you say that the seller should give it to you as a present. You know, you'll pay for the lulav, and I'm a nice guy. You know, it's a shame to have you just do one of the dalaminim, that you need all of them, as Gemara says. So I'll give you the esrog also, and the other dalaminim as well, presumably. Why? Because you can't buy it during Shvius. What's wrong with buying an estrog during Shvius? So first the Gemara says, well, what if your seller is not so nice? What if he doesn't want to give it to you as a present? What do you do then? You know, no, pay for the estrog. What is this? So we'll get to this in just a few minutes. So then you combine or swallow up, literally, the price of the lulav with the esrog. How this works, second, for now, we'll say, okay, how much is the lulav? $10. I'll pay you 20. No, I'll pay you 30. You know, you keep paying more for the lulav until eventually you convince him that it doesn't really make a difference whether or not he's charging you for the esrog or just paying more for the lulav. He's getting the same amount of money. Anyway, okay, but Gemara says, Leisle Behejo, we had to deal with all this. Just say I'm paying for the esrog. Pray tell, what's the problem with buying an esrog during Shemitah? Lefi she'ei mos me'per shvias am aretz. Why? You can't give demei shvias to an am aretz. We're dealing with someone who is not necessarily going to keep hilchos Shemitah. We're afraid when you exchange per shvias for money, the money is cut off with your shvias. We're afraid he's not going to use the money appropriately. Fine. I have a problem. Why didn't the Gemara simply say you can't buy from the Am Aretz? Because it's Hura. You can't buy from Peiro Shviz. It's merchandise. He's selling it as a business. You're buying it as his business. Why isn't that the problem? So some of Farshim say, well, we're dealing with Mechira Muetas. You're not doing a lot. It's not a business. He's selling a little bit. The discussions we had until now. However, if you look at the Kavos Tamarim, I'm going to skip the source 19 for a second. We'll get back to the Yuri. Kavos Tamarim says, it can't be Schora. It says you can't buy it during Shemitah. The problem in the Mishnah is the buyer. If it was a Schora problem, the problem would be you can't sell it during Shemitah. That's the problem. There's no problem to buy Shemitah produce in terms of Schora. That's not a problem of Sfora. It's a problem to sell. And I think this makes a lot of sense based on what we said. It's all about what the seller gets in return or whether they're being koveya their business in terms of mechira or short-term usage. I mean, you could sort of understand why it might be a problem if, it's just a general caduceus vias issue and you're not respecting it. But it makes more sense to say it's a mocher problem. And then Meiri, also in the previous source, in source number 18, also is very clear that the problem isn't that the buying itself is the Isser, it's that the selling is the Isser. And therefore he says, and this is the bold, Hu nasa ayadenu socher behem. We're afraid he's an Ama Aretz, he's not going to keep the laws of Schora. If you buy from him, you will cause him to violate Schora. You're causing him to violate Schora. You're not violating Schora. That is the general, I would say, the majority opinion here. However, it's not that everyone agrees to this. If you look at source number 20, the Sefer Amatn and Kedushin asks the following question. The case that he's dealing with is the case I briefly mentioned, which is being Mekadesh and Isha be Perish Shvius. And the Gemara there gives a case where someone was sort of very in a rush. He wanted to have, you know, wanted to marry many people at one time. So he goes up to a group of five women. He takes a loaf of shvias and he says, I'm Makadosh all of you right now with this loaf of shvias. And one of them accepts the loaf on behalf of all five of them. Now, it doesn't work for another reason, but the Gemara says that the reason wasn't that it was shvias. Shma mina, that if Makadosh made pure shvias, is mikudashas. Says the Sefer Machne, wait, this woman is accepting Kedushin for all five. She's a shliach. And we read earlier that you're not really supposed to be Mekadosh and Yishev Apir Shvias, because it's Sfora. So why isn't this a problem of Ein Shliach Lidvar Avira? Right? He quotes here, L'chor Kasha, if he must go to Rosh V'Tosas, Zikris, or Isra, Zikstiv, L'Ochel, O'Sora, Rosh, and Tosas, right? That being Mekadosh, Yishev Apir Shvias, is Isra Sfora. Elder Beavid Gushin Tosin, it just works anyway, even though you violated this or Mishin the Mecca Kayam, and King Hakayam alone, Ancient Vara Vera. Don't behold Ancient Vara Vera. Prepare Tosva Mitzia, according to one day in Tosa. What's that? Philo Beavid Shilas Botel. It's not just that you're not allowed to appoint an agent to perform an Avera for you. If you do so, the agency is invalid and it doesn't work. The Lama Mikudoshos Kulu Mitam Shlichos. How can they all be Mikudoshos Mitam Shlichos as this woman is their agent? Hakeim into Ike Isura al halokeach kemo al hamocher batel hashlichos didhu. Think about this for a second. Who is the pointing the shliach? The isha. Is she buying or selling? She's the one getting the peiro shvius. It's the mikadesh who's quote unquote selling. The machne is assuming that to buy peiro shvius is an iser of sora. Rashi and Tosfos did not say that. They said the mocher, the mekadesh, is over in Isser. But the Machne is saying it should be another problem. Now, some of Farshim say the answer to the Machne's question is there's no problem of Sora for the Kone. The Machne does not give that answer. He says another answer, well, the point is that she was appointed as a shliach or a shlicha. Generally, it was a general shlichus, and it happened to be she didn't aver with it. Like, they didn't say go accept Kedushin with Shavias. They said, go accept Kedushin. The man offered her Shavias. So that's not a problem in Shavias of Arvira. Be that as it may, he clearly assumes there is a problem for the Kona. So one thing to consider, even if you're not the one selling the pair of Shavias, maybe it's still a problem as buying pair of Shavias if Shora is at stake here, which requires us to be even more particular that the person selling the pair of Shavias is, you know, keeping the laws of Shemitah and has some mechanism of dealing with the Shora issue. Okay, one way of potentially dealing with these problems is what the Gemara already alluded to is Havla. Havla meaning that I'm not buying the Esro Kas V'Shalom. That would be Kedushas Shvius, that's Sfora. I'm buying the Lulav, and I'm hoping that maybe you'll do me a favor and you'll include the Esro in the sale. That would be a very nice thing for you to do. Kas V'Shalom would actually pay for the Esro itself. How exactly does this work? So here we have a machlokas between Rosh Yerbina Chanal on the one side and the Rosh Nishan to the Rambam on the other. Rashi says here briefly, what does it mean, mavlil min de'asim b'lulav? Yimchor lula biyoker, sell the lula for a lot of money. Chiyitlo esrog matana, right? So you say, how much is the lula? $10. I'll give you $50. No, I'm still not giving it to you for free. I'll give you $100, right? So eventually he realizes that, you know, it's really not worth it. You're getting the same money anyway. I'll just give him the esrog. The point, though, is you have to say, I want the esrog for free. I'm paying you for the lulav. That's what you have to stipulate. Rabbeinu Chanan says the same thing. He says, let's say the esrog is one zuz, the lulav is another zuz. Take it up to the bold. No snei shlo shnei zuzim be lulav. The lokach esrog be chena. I'm paying you two for the lulav, zero for the esrog. Keep it feverish. Blases to me peroshvius am haaretz aser. It is forbidden to give peroshvius to an am haaretz explicitly. That's the issue we're dealing with here. Let me make that note. The Gemara here is not dealing again with schora per se. The issue is giving money that is shvius to an am haaretz, which you're not supposed to do. We want to avoid the direct exchange of money for the peroshvius, and therefore we do have la. That's what the Gemara itself is referring to. However, there is another opinion. If you look at the Rosh, briefly, I'll just sort of summarize the Gemara in source 23. The Gemara there is talking about you have five brothers that all are, let's say, farming Peresvias together. And they want to sell them. The Gemara says you can't make a partnership or an enterprise, right? We're all getting together and we all have one business whereby we gather our stuff and sell it, and one sells it for all of us. That's too much Torah. That's business. That's a problem. However, what you can do is you have one person gather and they're selling their own stuff. And while they're selling their own stuff, they sell a little bit of your stuff too. How does that work? Says the Rosh in verse number 24. Pirish, Kishin, Chaverin, their five friends, Melachim, Beshutfus, they gather it together. The Echayen, Mocher, HaKol, and one sells all of it. Aser. Aval Imlikit La'atzmo, if you gather for yourself, the Chaveru Likit La'atzmo, when your friend gathers for himself, Umacher Osan, Beis Halakim, Vas Achas, and you sell Beis Halakim, Vas Achas, two portions at once. I have my friends, you know, I don't know, crop up bag of, turnips. I have my bag of turnips. I'm selling both of them, and I get paid for both of them. And one's for me, one's for my friend. That's okay. Zahavi ke'ein havla'a ke'da'amar mavliya d'mei esrog belula. Just like we say in Sukkah, mavliya d'mei esrog belula. Namely, the indication is, number one, the indication, I think on a simple level, though it's not necessarily talking about the problem of two people doing business with each other, it seems to be that he thinks Havla works for Shora. I think that's a simple explanation. Number two, what is Havla? It's not that I have to pay. I can't pay for the escrow. It's I sell them as a set. There's two halakim here. Two halakim. I'm buying. I'm not selling you a lulav and an escrow. I'm selling you a set for $20. You figure out what it's for. Right? That seems to be permissible. And the Rambam, I don't think it's the best yig in the Rambam. He just says, Mavlilav me esrog bid me lulav. Mix them together. Sort of also indicates that it's a set package. And this is what the Sfas MS points out in source number 26. You have Machlokes Rashi versus the Rosh and the Rambam, whether or not it's okay to sell them as a package deal, or Havla'a means you explicate, I am not paying for Peresvias, I am only paying for the other. So that's an important consideration if we're going to consider how to do Havla'a. But another consideration is, what can I actually include in the price, right? Just thinking about this, if I am going to sell Peresvias, say, however I'm doing that, and I don't want to get paid for the fruit, or I don't want to pay the fruit itself, so the price is going to be a lot lower, right? Because, you know, I'm only paying you for the effort, for your cost in getting it. What can and what the seller include in the price? Rav Yaakov Volovsky, and I got this source from Eretz Chanda, is pretty strict on this. Pretty strict indeed. He says you can only do Havla, just referencing outside because I want to get to the end here. You can only do Havla if you had different meaning I had non-Shvius produce, I had also Shvius produce, and I am selling both of them, and you're only paying me for the non-Shvius produce. Basically, you're selling me. You can't simply say, I'm selling a bottle of Shvius wine and you're paying me for the container, right? Or I'm selling Shvius wine, you're not paying me for the wine, you're paying me for my efforts in, you know, procuring the wine. That's not going to be okay. It says, who do you think you're fooling here? It's us. Gadol chalil havigan mi'anovim l'ligno das elyon b'zeh, like you're doing gnevas das hakash farchu, like he doesn't know that you're really selling the grape juice. That doesn't make any sense. And he says, in ha'heter avla el b'mocher shnei, meaning you need non-Shmita produce and Shmita produce. So when you buy Shmita produce, if you're assuming that you want to get, if you haven't gotten rid of Kedusha Shvius, so then you have to worry about, you might have to consider buying two things. It gets a bit complicated. Rav Cook in source number 28, Rav Rimon quoted this Rav Cook, is a lot more makel here. He is pretty liberal in terms of what you can include in the price here. It says Rav Cook, okay, Mel Martha Shvius, no, it's no Esrog Matana. Vim lo Nasalo, Mavil me Esrog, Bimilo. Okay. Vyesh Orim Shehua Zim Isra's Chor Peresvius. Number one, he says, some say it works for Schora too. Havla'a would get around the Schora problem, not just the giving money to an Ama Aretz problem, which is very interesting. And maybe it's not doing business with Peresvius, if I'm not quote unquote doing business perishfias, my operation is I'm selling other stuff, and I also do give away perishfias. That's what some say. Gam kinhu a day of luck. You want to mocha lo yain ve omer shakeshes you makabel about a kankan. I'm selling wine, shvius wine, but I'm not getting paid for the wine. I'm getting paid for the bottle. I'm giving to you as a present. That's quite a shita. If you're paying me for the work, the effort, the strain of transport and procuring the goods, that's also not tzchora. The typo there. You wouldn't have to worry about giving it to an Amaretz or Kedusha Shvius if you do that. So he's much more open. If you take this at face value, it would seem may not even need, the whole contraption of the Chano Shvius or what's your basin. Although I do think that practically your cook wants people to do what's your basin. But he's pretty liberal in terms of what you can include in the price. However, not everyone agrees. And then if you look at source number 29, Derech Hamuna says, either way, this only gets you around the Jmei Shvius Lamaretz problem. As a buyer, if you do Havla, you don't need to worry about paying someone who might not be very informed about Hilchos Shvius, Jmei Shvius. But it's not going to get around the Tzchora problem. And it makes sense. Even if I'm selling it as a package deal, you're really going to tell me I'm not doing business with Pair of Shvius? Or, if you take your Ramban or Rashba approach, it certainly doesn't make any sense. The Ramban or Rashba is about what you get back in return. So if you don't intend on using that money to buy food, it doesn't matter whether or not you're selling the thing as a package or not. Yes, Rabbi Aris.
What happens to different levels of esrogim in this? You've got your super mahadrin and your mahadrin. You've got a $50 esrog, $100 esrog. If it's all havla or all, you're only paying for the lulav, how do you even break this up?
That is an excellent question. So theoretically, like the Chazon Ish, I think, would say it should really not be such a high price. I think what they do is that they don't even like...
They get the course
for Shemitah and Mary Kachinari for me on this. I think they don't even let you really pick it, right?
You can't see it.
It's a closed box sale. You're not supposed to
pick up the esrog. So you're right. Like it shouldn't that it should you shouldn't have to pay for the
mahadrin. One price fits all.
Yeah, that's what it should be. Yeah.
100%. Not necessarily one price fits all. There's different categories. They'll tell you this is a $100 etrog, this is a $50 etrog, but you can't look at it beforehand. So
what difference does it make with the Esrog's value that?
Maybe it was hard to get the Esrog Paros. It was more work. You didn't have to go look and find it. I don't know. I'm not sure. I do think if Cook is a bit more, makel in terms of what you can include in the price. But yeah, I think it's a good point. You really shouldn't be selling the Esrog for too much money if it's really just for Tircha and for, your expenses. It's 100% true. And it's an interesting question whether or not you should be mahader and shvias versus being mahader and esrog, right? Meaning if someone's relying on, say, heter mechira or yevul nachri versus someone who is, otzer basin esrog again, but maybe you won't be as nice. So what's better? Ask your local Orthodox rabbi. Finally, the last thing I want to get to, and this is less of a story issue but more of a buying in general issue, is the issue of buying on credit, right? So we want to avoid exchanging directly pair of shvias for money because that ends up, the money is kedusha shvias. And you don't know if you're giving it to. Are they going to keep Kedusha Shvius? Are they going to spend it appropriately? So we try to avoid giving money to someone who may not be careful. So one way to avoid this is buying on credit or not paying cash for the period. What is the source for this? We go to source number 30. I read the Gemara briefly. The Gemara says, this is in the same Gemara we talked about before. We talked about Ochel Losor and Vodazara. Gemara says, V'Rabbi Yana Yasi Peri Shvius Mi'anyim Ukfar Lehu Bishminis. Rabbi Yanai, the Shiva Rabbi Yanai, borrowed Peros Shvius, or I say borrowed, in quotes, Peros Shvius from Aniyim, Uparlehu Bishminas, and they paid them back during the next year. With fruit, it seems. So also Amli Rabbi Yochanan, told Rabbi Yochanan, Amalehu Yosein Avdin. He said it's okay. So here's a question here, what were they trying to avoid? Why did they have to do this whole contraption? They waited till after Shminas. And they didn't pay them back right away. Rashi says the problem is bior, meaning they gave them fruit that before the Bior, they weren't Mitva'er the Perus, and then they sort of, because the whole point is you want to allow these Aniyim to keep their fruit, and if you don't, then they're going to have to do Bior. So Rashi says that, therefore, what they did was they exchanged it, they waited till after Shmias, and they give it to them. But isn't it just exchanging one fruit for another? Shouldn't this exchange also be Chayav in Bior? No. Why? Says Rashi in 31, Kevan dahi shaita lohava hanach be'ein, below echlufi hani bahani, lav chalifin ninhu. Since at the time that you give back the peros to the aniyim, the original peros shvias are no longer extant, they're gone, you ate them already, therefore it's not considered an exchange. Exchange means I give you one pre, you give me back another, and the caduceus is transferred. If you give me a pre, I bought it, or I borrowed it, and then I eat the pre, and then I give you back something in return, there's no exchange. And therefore, they're not susceptible to Bior. All the Mefarshim say the problem was is that we're afraid that if you they're going to do Schora with the Peros, it's not a Bior issue, but it's an issue of if you give it to the onion, it's kind of produces Shvius and it's exchanged, maybe they're not going to use it appropriately, they're going to sell it. So that's what we're trying to avoid. However, so essentially the point is buying on credit avoids the Kedusha Shvius problem because there's no direct exchange of either fruit or cash for other fruit. Parenthetically, if you worry about ribis, as the first one trying to figure out why this is ribis, saw basah, you had a clear price in the shah, you have other peros, and ribis is complicated. Look at the first one there. It's not a ribis problem. Anyway, that is Rashi. But the point is, Rashi seems to indicate that you need to get rid of the original pre. You can only pay them back if the original pre is no longer extant. Tosos quotes a few opinions, and then this is from Eretz Chanda, the source, a few other opinions that maybe not. So first he quotes Rashi, then he quotes Rabbi Rav Elchanan to say it outside, that maybe as long as the original, the person that you gave the, you bought the fruit from, transferred it to another person's possession, right? That, so the case is, if you have Voros Kachavim, and they, which is obviously you can't benefit from idols or for Yain Netzach, and then you sell it to a non-Jew, as long as by the time the non-Jew pays you back for the Yayin Nesach, he no longer has it in his possession, that's okay. That's what Tosfos ends up concluding, such that you don't even need to make sure the Peros Shvius are gone when you pay the person back. They can even be there as long as you transfer ownership. And then the third opinion is that you don't even need to do that. The very fact that you bought it already, the kinyan is complete, right? Because you know, when I am Moshech, the Perushias, I own them. The money I owe to the seller is a debt. It's a chov. So when I pay the person back, I'm not exchanging it for Perushias. I'm simply paying back a chov. So there's different opinions here as to whether or not how you have to avoid Kedushas Shvius via Hakafa, via credit. Do you need to make sure that the pre is no longer there or not? The Ramban is not so sure. He says, I don't understand. If you're really telling me that the kinyan is complete when I take the peros such that when I pay you back, it's not an exchange, well, then maybe then there shouldn't be an exchange at all, right? Maybe it's not Tofes Kedushas Shvius at all. Why don't we just say pay for it in advance? And maybe, you know, the second sale also, there won't be an exchange of Kedusha. We require Mekach u'Memchar. The whole point is that you don't want what you're giving back to that person to be holy. So Rabban disagrees. Rabban says it needs to not be there. And if you look in the Mesha Dover in 34, the Tznitziv says you should be Machmir. We should be Machmir for the Rabban. And that by the time you pay the person back, when he says he bought a Srogan for Eretz Yisrael, he tried to make sure that he would pay them after Yom Tov on credit, and before he paid them, he would eat the esrog. Okay, I know we're out of time over here. Just very briefly to end, just for one more minute, how do we go about no problem, Ariara? How do we go about doing credit? So if you look at source number 37, the Zilber suggests that a check would also be sufficient. If you pay a check for the Shemitah produce, that's not considered kesef. It's considered like sort of like a shtar, such that when you exchange the check for the peros, the check is not nifas b'kedushas shvius, and therefore it's okay. And Rav Yaakov Ariel suggests two approaches. Number one, a credit card is okay because there it's the credit card company's paying them. You're not paying them. You're just giving them the credit card and they get paid back, and that's not going to be an exchange. And furthermore, he says, even if you sort of pay a lot at the beginning of the month and then incrementally take parashvias, there's also no direct exchange between the payment and the fruits. You have a bunch of options. But Dachamuna says 39, oats are basin avoids all of this. Why? If you do oats are basin, he says, in Kanshora, it's not to make shvias because you're paying for the tircha. You don't need to do hakafa. It's all good as long as you do oats are basin, meaning that basin essentially takes upon the responsibility of getting, making sure the fruits are available to you and you don't pay them for the fruit. You pay them for the tircha involved in getting the pears to you. So that's a bit of a, that's a description of commerce. We talked about buying it, what constitutes schora, the problems of selling it and buying it, when, and how you deal with Kedusha Shvius. Next week, Marissa Hashem, I believe, Rabbi Tarchiner is going to continue with Hana'ah from Kedusha Shvius, how you can do Hana'ah, and what about benefiting from things that aren't food, like flowers or spices and the like. Thank you very much for joining.
It's not so much about Hana'ah, it's about the definition. Well, we'll see. Hana, I'm going to set up my makomas later today, I hope.
Thank you very much, everyone. Welcome back, everyone. Have a great Shabbat.
Shalom, Chaim.
Shabbat Shalom.